Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Where can I find Van Wilder?
In the Guinness Book of World Records, man, out of the rottest dude alive.
From National Lampoon.
My name is Van,
and this is my home.
I love this place.
His popularity is unrivaled.
I would like to be your assistant.
What can we do for you?
I want to take you through the car wash, baby, you know, and get you to Vax.
Oh, mommy.
His coolness is unquestioned.
Sick boy, how you doing?
That ointment really worked. Thanks.
And his exploits.
I'm doing a human interest piece on you.
Well, I'm flattered. I'd love for your piece to be on me.
Are legendary.
Take your clothes off.
I'm not taking off my clothes.
Well, it is the naked mile run. Everybody else is in their birthday suits. Except that guy.
This spring.
Van is still in school
for the better part of a decade.
He'll be cut off.
Dad, I placed a stop payment on this semester's check.
Hello, and welcome to this Patreon Pal episode of The Worst Idea of All Time, featuring Guy Montgomery,
hello.
Tim Batt,
hello.
And a dog.
Woof, woof.
You might hear Rufus come through on the record. He is a little pup, and I can't leave him alone at the moment. So he's hanging out, spending a lot of time in the Little Empire Studios.
Well, does that mean that Rufus saw some dog representation while watching Van Wilder Party Liaison with you, Tim?
Sadly, not. Because I watched it last night when he was sleeping in one of his brief two-hour windows.
Ah, okay. Well, look, to start things off, obviously the movie that we have been asked to watch is Van Wilder, Party Liaison, yes. 2002 film from Harvard's National Lampoon production company. I don't know if they're associated with Harvard anymore. Now, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the film, Tim, I feel like partially this must have been chosen because you have a relationship that's been publicized on various different episodes of the podcast with this movie.
Absolutely.
Was it in your final year of high school?
I think it might have been second to last. Oh, yeah, it was one of the two, either seventh form or sixth form.
You persuaded your media studies teacher to use this movie as a source material for what sort of essay or study?
Yeah, so what it was... I really enjoyed media studies. I was a pretty good student, and Big D, as I called him, I want to say I started that nickname for him, which persists to this day. Mr. Neil was what everyone else called him. But Derek entrusted to me the decision on what movie we were going to study. I didn't actually realize this at the time, but it was kind of for the big exam at the end of the year for like a film study. And I said, Van Wilder, please. And he said, I've never heard of it. Let's do that. And then we did. We watched it. We critiqued it. And then a whole lot of students from Onslow College in Wellington that year wrote an essay about a movie that has dog semen buns being consumed as a college prank. And the New Zealand Qualifications Authority wrote a sternly worded letter to my school. saying, hey, don't.
Can I say, understandably so. Big D, do we call this teacher?
Yeah.
I don't doubt that this guy was fun, but, you know, to be a good teacher, you've got to be a teacher first and a friend second. And I think I watched this movie around about its release date. But, you know, watching it through the eyes of an adult, I don't know that this is fit for critical discussion, you know, and secondary examinations.
It definitely wasn't, and I don't think he thought that it was either. But it was kind of one of those things where the school schedule was so packed that once we had spent, like, you know, two periods watching the thing, that time was down the drain. So it was already a sunk cost. We had to make something with it. We couldn't just start another movie. So we just had to roll with it.
With due respect, if you're talking about high school media studies, I don't think time is such a precious commodity that you can't claim those two periods back.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All I can tell you is the way I saw it at the time. It's been many years, but I was, you know, I was pretty proud of the fact that I managed to get a letter for the school. That was good.
Undoubtedly. I feel like part of the inspiration for wanting Van Wilder to be the case study for your class was probably taken, you know, it was probably inspired by some of Van Wilder's behavior, his sort of legendary status on campus, tertiary campus, but campus all the same.
Yeah.
And you sort of, you know, as any, what you would have been, I guess,
16, 17?
Yeah. And, you know, you would have wanted to walk a mile in his shoes.
From memory, my brother, John, gave me this movie on DVD for like Christmas or something. And he said, this is a movie that I watch when I can't be bothered going to university. And then it sort of inspires me to go. So he gave it to me. And I loved this movie straight off the bat. And can I tell you guys, with the fullness of time, I still fucking love it. I hadn't seen it in about 6 or 7 years. I could quote pretty much every line. I knew every inconsistency and mistake that's in the film even before I fired the thing up. That's how many times I've seen it. I was waiting for my previous love of this film to be sort of rectified, because I understand it is not a great piece of cinema necessarily, but nah, man, I fucking still love this movie. I can't look at it objectively. It is too embedded into my psyche growing up. But so that's why I'm real keen to hear what you have to say, because I just had a fucking good time watching an old classic.
Look, it was pretty it was not challenging to get through. A breezy, you know, 92 minutes.
And pacey. The thing keeps moving.
And certainly there were, you know, parts of it that were familiar, you know, like around the same time we've got Road Trip, we've got American Pie, all sorts of, you know, we've got Not Another Teen Movie, Scary Movie. Like it's, even though those two are of a slightly different genre, they're all in a very familiar wheelhouse, which makes it, I think, in a similar way, even though I wasn't as familiar with Van Wilder, very easy watching, because it's like you're watching the same tropes, the same gags play out, and it does tickle some nostalgic part of you that's like, oh yeah, I remember these movies.
But beyond that, beyond the nostalgia buzz, could you not? Did you enjoy it at all, just on its own merits?
No, not at all.
Oh. Gutted. What about the undeniable charm of Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, look, there's no denying that Ryan Reynolds is a very charismatic guy. And like, yeah, I mean, you can't even this movie couldn't bury how charismatic he genuinely is. But They paint, like, you know, the who's the guy, who's Tara Reid's boyfriend, the med student?
Okay, let's get into it, Guy. Let's explain what this movie is. For those who haven't seen it, and it sounds like this is going to be a real worst idea, 50-50 on the fence as to whether or not you should rent this thing. Van Wilder Party Liaison is a movie about a guy called Van Wilder, portrayed by the uber-talented Ryan Reynolds, who is a guy who's been at university for 7 years, and he just hangs out. Everyone loves him. He's very integrated into all the different parts of the school. He is the big man on campus. He runs fundraisers for the swim team. He connects people to partners who get married. He is just like a central nucleus through which all parts of the school run. And he's having a great time. He loves his life. And the movie follows the events of Gwen, who is played by Tara Reid, who we will talk about in depth very soon. She writes for the school newspaper. So she's a student journalist, very ambitious, very highly strung. And she gets tasked by her editor to write a huge piece on Van Wilder, this guy who everyone kind of knows and loves but doesn't know very many details about his life. And so she begrudgingly sets off on what she thinks is a soft news piece. And predictably, he ends up hitting on her. And she's got a boyfriend called Richard who is in medical school, I guess.
Yeah.
They keep calling him pre-med. I'm not sure what that means in American terms. The American
He's a medical undergrad who's looking to get placed in some nice department. I don't know.
Northwestern. He is interviewing to go to Northwestern, which I think is in New Hampshire. And so it follows the events of basically will they, won't they, with Van and Gwen, while Richard is the antagonist. He's the foil for Van. And they are playing pretty high stakes pranks on one another throughout the film and sort of trading places for Gwen's affections. That is more or less the entire film, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got Cal Penn thrown in there for good measure as his assistant.
Jesse Pinkman's in this movie, which I never knew. So watching it recently, there's a line in the movie right at the start where we're at a party. I think it's at Van's apartment or it might be somewhere else. And Van's dad enters in to come and find him because it's been revealed that Van's dad has been paying for his college tuition the whole time and didn't really notice. And it's been brought to his attention. He's like, fuck that. My son's been there for 7 years. I'm cutting off the checks. And he walks in and he goes up to a passed out college frat boy who turns out to be Jesse Pinkman, which I never realized before. And he goes, can you tell me where I can find Van Wilder? And Jesse Pinkman says, yeah, in the Guinness Book of World fucking Records, this is the raddest fucking dude alive. And then passes out again. Jesse, and when I heard the voice, I was like, it's Jesse Pinkman. And then I looked it up and it is.
Jesse Pinkman's a character, of course, from Breaking Bad. For those of us like me who haven't seen it, a quick Google search told me it's Aaron Paul, who's also known for voicing Todd in BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, what I was going to say, I mean, I think you've captured, you know, the essence of the film, Lord knows how, because, you know, it's quite a complex storyline and there's high stakes and a lot of twists and turns to navigate. They do a great job of painting the pre-med student. What's his name again? Dick.
Richard.
Richard.
Did you even watch the movie? Pre-med Dick. And another note, which I hadn't noticed in my multiple previous watches of this film, because they only refer to it two times in the movie, his last name is Bag. So they named him Dick Bag, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, it's a great gag, Tim. He does a good job of, like, he's the prototypical, you know, frat boy asshole who I feel like in terms of the history of cinema, Bradley Cooper really captured best in Wedding Crashers as Todd. Do you see that they are in the same canon of frat guy villains?
Man, I cannot remember Wedding Crashers. I watched it once incredibly hungover many years
ago. I would say, for reference, Wedding Crashers is probably my Van Wilder, even though it's years later. It's a movie that a crazy sort of, I've seen an unholy amount of times. I used to watch it when I was hungover relentlessly. 3 years after Van Wilder it came out. And I did enjoy that, but I found, I don't think time has been particularly kind to Van Wilder, party liaison.
It's certainly not a movie you could release today. That's undeniable. It's kind of too dumb. I think more than anything, like you can talk about all the social mores that we have now, but I think realistically this movie is too stupid to be released in the modern age to the cinemas.
A throwback to a different era, right? And that is one thing I did enjoy in watching it was just how it was just so nothing. It was so stupid and like it does feel like it's harder to find something like, you know, something like this where there's not some sort of heavy-handed or some sort of through line or moral to latch onto. I mean, I guess they do sort of tie it up at the end with a be yourself, grow up, I don't know. What would you say?
I guess the moral of Van Wilder is it's all about your own potential and believing in yourself and not being afraid, I guess. I guess it's about not being afraid of pursuing things. Because for Gwen, it's like, don't be afraid of breaking up with your boyfriend and actually going after this wildcat van, even though you think it's risky. And for Van, it's like, don't be afraid of actually graduating and getting out into the real world, because you'll be fine.
Yeah. Did you know that this as unlikely as it sounds, this film is based on real life, inspired.
Well, who? Where have you read this, and who do they say it's inspired by?
There's a Rolling Stone article about a guy who's now quite a successful comedian called Bert Kreischer.
Ah, oh, have you not heard of Bert?
I've heard of him like entirely divorced from his college days, just as a as a presence in the world of stand-up comedy.
So he, I'm like 99% sure I'm thinking of the right guy. He's got a story which is sort of commonly referred to online as the greatest story ever told, about how he went to Russia on a high school trip and got drunk with a bunch of mobsters and held up the train with them, which I do recommend. That lots of people call out the veracity of the story, but for entertainment value, it is undeniably fucking excellent. So you should check that out. There's another guy who was kind of knocking around at the same time that this movie came out, called Tucker Max. Do you know Tucker Max?
I remember Tucker Max.
Yeah. Did you? So for those who don't know, Tucker Max was, I mean, I guess now we'd call him a famous misogynist. And he
absolutely.
In a way, he sort of apologized for his past life, I think. But he was this incredible asshole who was just this womanizing college frat boy. But he fucking had the, like, a real gift for the written word. And he used to pen these stories, which were back in the old days of the internet. And he had a website of his own, which is essentially just a blog of his exploits going to parties. I shudder to, you know, go back and read some of his work now. But I remember in high school just fucking loving the stories he was telling about these wild nights out.
Do you know, yeah, I remember around that time, you sort of, Tucker Max and then also Maddox, who called himself an internet pirate, they sort of ruled the roost. And although Maddox was sort of more geekier and steeped in like internet culture, Tucker Max's was just like regaling stories of this, at the time, you know, what was this fantasy life of just being this absolute monster who was rolling around college parties and being the worst possible dude.
Maddox was the guy who had like a bunch of slogans and t-shirts going, it was like, for every animal you don't eat, I'll eat 10 or something, right? Like, he just used to goad vegetarians and vegans and shit.
He also, I remember what rose him to prominence in my world was he had a very funny webpage, which was I can, like, reviewing kids' art. And it was just like all these different children's art, and he was just calling it all fucking terrible, which pretty prescient, I guess, you know, like that sort of humor is still present. But anyway, he also had a darker side. But yeah, this is all in the same wheelhouse. So this Bert Kreischer story, that Russia story, I don't know about, but like there was quite a famous Rolling Stone article about his time at a university in somewhere in Florida that is purportedly meant to have inspired, you know, Van Wilder. And, you know, you can see how in 2002 you pair Ryan Reynolds and Tara Reid together. You put the National Lampoon, which I suppose their brand might have still had some value back then, on top of it. And you've got, you know, like, it's a modern-day Animal House, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But more moralistic, you've got to say, because for all the things we're saying about how this movie has dated terribly, and I think this is what I liked about it at the time, it's like, it's very kind of jocular and macho and stupid and boyish, but it does kind of, it does have a warm heart to it. Like, it's not, I don't think it's fuck. I want to say even now, like, it's not super problematic, is it? Or is it?
No, it's pretty problematic, Tim.
Okay, fine. But it does have a heart. I will defend that. This movie definitely has a heart, and Van Wilder as a character has a heart. And I think that A lot of that is down to the heavy lifting of Ryan Reynolds' magnetism and skills as an actor. But, man, I don't know. It's impossible for me to judge this fairly. Like I said, it's too steeped into my reptilian brain. But I didn't think this was bad at all. I really enjoyed watching it.
No, in fairness to you, it's not problematic in its, overall as a piece of art. It's like it's more like the jokes du jour of the time have aged terribly as society, you know, like as punching down has fallen out of vogue. And, you know, a lot of the laugh lines are at the expense of people who have shortcomings in their lives in the film.
That's true.
I would not disagree that Van Wilder as a character, in spite of this, is still incredibly likable, which is a credit to Ryan Reynolds. And, you know, it's a very basic and male-skewed view of the world and university specifically, but everyone's, apart from specifically designated antagonist in the form of Dickbag, everyone's hearts are in the right place, you know. And I did very much enjoy the presence of whoever the guy who plays the sort of, he's the crotchety university professor who Van Wilder keeps stealing his park.
The dean.
Well, he wasn't the dean, though. He was, like, just some low-level economics professor. But he was, like, when I saw him, I don't know what he's familiar from, but I was like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, everything was very comfortable. It wasn't difficult to get through the 90 minutes. It just also wasn't enjoyable.
Yeah, so that's Professor McDougall who sort of takes the spot of that classic dean position, which is in all of these movies. There's always, like, in Animal House, I'm pretty sure it's the dean. In Old School, it literally is the dean of students who's played by Jeremy Piven. Yeah. Fuck, man.
What were the jokes that you remember laughing at when you first saw it that you were excited to see again and delivered?
Oh God. Okay. So, well, all I can really tell you is the ones that really like got me this week. I don't know. It's just the little like looks. There's a look to camera that Ryan Reynolds does, which sort of takes you back to like Ferris Bueller, that whole breaking of the fourth wall thing. There's just a lot of like good little kind of character actor interactions. I thought that the back and forth between he and Ms. Haver, who's this like old woman who works in the university, who he hits on, and then they end up fucking so that he can get an extension on paying his semester's tuition. And she's hilarious, man. I think she's so funny. It's such a like, you know, broad comedy role that she's been asked to do, but I reckon she's great. When she like pulls off her wig and just drops it in his lap, and he just looks terrified. There's just so many little things like that, man. Ryan Reynolds is very good with playing with others. Tara Reid, on the other hand, fucking doesn't even act in this. Like, she is just reading lines. She is so far and away the worst performer in this film by such a huge margin. It is insane to me.
Yeah, I'd just like to say before we do dig into Tara Reid's performance that like listening to you affectionately reminisce on the film does tell me just how deep you are in with this movie, because you know, while the comic objective of the scene you described was clear to me, and I suppose on some level the idea of some hot young Ryan Reynolds, you know, having sex with an elderly woman is funny, if only because it's unlikely, it did not grab my heart the same way it did yours.
It's funny because it is a turning of the tables. It is a funny power dynamic where he rolls in there, legs akimbo, ready to, you know, bat his eyes and get what he wants because that's what he used to, and then he gets fucked over and the old woman takes advantage of him. And I think that is a funny flipping of the tables in this film.
I did.
And just the way that, like, his, when he walks out of the room and he just looks soul shaken. I don't know. It's a good little power play.
The callback to that scene actually did get a laugh out of me when he's stating his case of why he shouldn't be thrown out of the university later in the film, and on the sort of jury of professors, she sits there and she does a sort of quite promiscuous and suggestive tongue waggle at him. And I laughed then, and part of the laugh, it was just pure, you know, like paint by numbers, joke telling and movie making. But part of the laugh did stem from
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Remembering their sexual tryst earlier in the movie. So,
got you.
It did get me. Now, Tara Reid was a name I had not thought of, nor an actor I had seen in a pretty serious amount of time. And just a very cursory look at it, Wikipedia page led me to what is undoubtedly a very depressing but also hilarious gossip tidbit, which is in the year 2016, Tara Reid and an actor who's someone named Dean May were throwing off a TV show called Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars because it was revealed they were not in a relationship.
Oh no, Tara Reid. Tara Reid's she's had some troubles, eh? She's kind of one of those forever in the headlines celebrities, eh?
Not to the extent of some, but certainly I don't think her career, she came out like a, you know, like a bottle rocket and you know, and was sort of typecast. I mean, because remember she was in The Big Lebowski. She was Bunny Lebowski in The Big Lebowski. Yeah, and then on the back of that, she was in American Pie. And then, you know, she did have this incredible run sort of into the early to mid-2000s where she was sort of one of Hollywood's it girls. But as you say and observed in Van Wilder,
she's
I don't know that her performance ever caught up to it. Like, I remember really thinking she was quite good in The Big Lebowski, and I remember enjoying her, although I haven't watched them for a long time, in American Pie. Part of that enjoyment probably was, like, you know, stemmed from the fact that I was a young adolescent boy and she was pitched as this very attractive dream girl. And my very small reptilian hormone-addled and horny brain just imagined, you know, I was not watching anything for acting performance at that point. But, yeah, her career has not taken off. And I think in Van Wilder you do see evidence of why that may be, because she is literally reading off cue cards next to Ryan Reynolds' face.
She's phoning it in to the max.
There's a few scenes when she was in the office acting as a journalist against the newspaper, the student newspaper boss, which I sort of could get into.
That guy was good, didn't you think?
Her
editor. He just had such a great... It was kind of like he was in a slightly different movie because he had such a good naturalistic style. It was just like, oh, fuck, I buy this for sure.
Absolutely. But, I mean, did you think that her and Ryan had chemistry in any way?
Well, the only chemistry that was there was stuff that Ryan could manufacture with you know, can you, how, any like, star.
Does your fandom of Ryan Reynolds start before Van Wilder? Or no, is Van Wilder no, where it all began? That. Because
do you know what?
He got a grip on you and he never let go.
Correct. Two Guys and a Girl was probably my first exposure to Ryan Reynolds. And when that was on the tally, I was like, this kid's going places. I would have been about 9 or something. But he's like immediately, he just was so my cup of tea. Like he's so warm and charming and cheeky and hilarious in everything that he does. I really dig him. And so I saw this as like, this is the fucking dude. And that's why I was so absolutely excited about Deadpool. And I wasn't let down by the first one, but the second one wasn't quite as good. But didn't always that, tricky to pull off that difficult sophomore album.
Didn't they make more Deadpool?
How do you mean?
Like a third one?
No, they've had a couple bites of the apple at the character within the Marvel Universe. So he's been in some of the other X-Men movies, but they kept fucking it up. Like they'd introduce him in Wolverine movies and stuff. But like in one of them, for example, quick detour, he's called the Merc with the Mouth, right? That is Wade's, one of his nicknames. It's one of Deadpool's nicknames in the comic books because he's like famous for his quips and his little asides. And in one of them, they fucking have him on screen for like 30 seconds and then glue his mouth shut. It's like, no, that's kind of one of his superpowers, that he's really fucking hilarious. And you've literally taken his voice away. That's insane. So they had to retcon the whole thing.
When was that? Was that before Deadpool was released?
That was before Deadpool was released. So that was in, I'm going to get this wrong. It was like The Wolverine, I think.
Because you... One of the Ryan Reynolds is dear to your heart in the same way that Deadpool is dear to Ryan Reynolds' heart.
Yeah. But yeah, so you can see the through line there. And Deadpool's always been a fucking cool character, like, you know, Ryan Reynolds or not. He's a very, very unique voice in the X-verse, in the X-Men universe. Because he's got all these things about him that are like completely different. All the X-Men are very earnest. You know, like you've got Professor Xavier, who's this kind of Christ-like savior figure, and you've got Scott Summers, Cyclops, who's this kind of leader, who's kind of like a Captain America, super earnest, rally the troops dude. And Deadpool is, first of all, a character who is aware that he is inside a comic book, and he does these like fourth wall breaks inside the panels where he talks to you, the reader, and he's just fucking funny. And he can't be killed, pretty much. So
you read the books?
I'm a little brushed up on it. I haven't read all of it. I'm a little brushed up on it.
By the time you heard that Ryan Reynolds sort of that Deadpool was his thing, you had independent fandom of both of them.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was like a very exciting time for you.
Yeah, but it also made perfect sense that he would love that because it's like. It's the same sort of humor as him, right? It's good shit. And especially after him in the Blade trilogy. Was he in two of them? I think he was in two and three. And he's ripped to fuck. You're like, this dude can pull it off.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds to me is like, I'm sure he'd be fun to have dinner with. Like not even one-on-one. I just mean if you were at a dinner party and Ryan Reynolds was there, you'd be like, oh yeah, this guy's gonna joke around the whole time. But he's never quite seized me in the way I think he's got to you. I've always admired how handsome he is. I mean, that is undeniable.
Yeah, I think he was the sexiest man in the world one year, People magazine.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, he could very well be the sexiest man in the world every year. But yeah, he doesn't quite, I don't know. I have never followed him from project to project. He's always
watch him and Google some interviews. Watch him on like Graham Norton. Watch him interacting with Hugh Jackman. And the thing about Ryan Reynolds as well is that it's not for nothing. Like his whole, and this is, you know, slightly dark, but his whole kind of comic persona and the reason he makes all these jokes and stuff harkens back to his troubled childhood and his relationship that he had with his dad. So it's all like. He's a goodie. He's a good kind of character is Ryan Reynolds.
I love him. I love that you love him, Tim. I will say that.
He's a great guy.
Very much enjoyed, and I think this is what placed Van Wilder in the same wheelhouse and made the time go by so quickly as American Pie and Road Trip. The soundtrack was incredible.
Fuck, yes it was. How good is the soundtrack on this movie? I used to listen to it all the time. Like, I downloaded all the songs in it, and I'd listen to it heaps when I was in high school.
You could put this on, if you can find it, I'm sure someone's put it together on Spotify, walk around, and for a day, you would be living inside of an early 2000s frat boy comedy. Like, it is crazy how much that music captures not just an era, but like a feeling within it.
Exactly. That's so well articulated. And I think that's why I fucking dug my hooks into this movie so deep as well, because you know how important soundtracks and music and scoring is to me in a film.
Oh, absolutely.
And this just nails it.
Yeah, it sounded like one Sum 41 song 12 different ways. But to their credit, you know, that works, and that's what the movie called for. I would love to know what Cal Penn thinks about his experience. Or, like, I guess he loved it because he did a sequel, right? There was a second Van Wilder that centered around his character.
Rise of Taj, I think it's called. And I did watch it at some point, but it is fucking brutal. It's terribly bad.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say, but I remember... I'm only embarrassed to say with the information I have now, but a lot of the laugh lines I remember from when I first saw the movie were from Taj, from Cal Penn specifically, through this sort of thick, put-on Indian accent, like saying, I want to study the great American art of muff diving. Like,
That's funny, though. That is funny.
That is embedded. But, you know, like, there was social capital to be gained by wheeling that out, you know, at morning tea time in front of the fellas. I mean, I didn't know
they
exactly...
Earn you some chums on the first 15, did it?
I don't think the first 15 were listening to me and the boys doing our movie impressions, but certainly amongst the fellas I was already friends with, it did nothing
Who
to
were
hurt
those
my
people?
Standing.
Was that Drama Club?
No, it's not Drama Club. I don't know that the
Where
Drama
are
Club
you,
were
guy?
Watching Van Wilder.
But take me there. We're in high school. Who are you hanging out with? Who are the fellas?
So I'm
From
pretty sure.
Whence do they roam?
This is the first year of high school. So this is not any one group, but it's like I was sort of I was socially fluid in that I was friendly with, but not close to, you know, I like to think all groups, your jocks, your cool guys, your theater geeks. And then I had my own very close group of friends. But you can
a
only
real
get...
Van Wilder of a man at high school was Guy Montgomery.
You only get value out of one impression per group. So I would wheel this out in front of anyone who would listen once. I also did
Hold on. So you would do the Indian accent that Cal Penn does?
Well, yeah, I'd say I want to study the great American art of muff diving. You know, if Van Wilder ever came up, and you know, I think the reason why I gravitated towards impressions, and if I found one from a movie that everyone knew, I latched onto, was because, as you know, Tim, I wasn't allowed to watch TV when I was younger, and like everyone would watch TV.
By the way, young parents or parents to be, heed this warning: Guy Montgomery is what happens when you remove screen time entirely.
Yeah, and so I would like watch people doing impressions of shows, and often I would lie about having seen something that I hadn't seen just so that I could feel like I was part of the conversation, but that just made it worse because then I'd sit through like 20 minutes of impressions and jokes that I don't know or remember, but pretending to laugh at the right moments. It was a nightmare. But so if ever I could sink my teeth into one that I could, you know, I could actually contribute, I'd get very excited.
Fair enough. I'm not surprised. So, Guy, do you have a shining light of this movie? It seems like as an entire piece, you weren't thrilled with it.
I got to say, just for the sheer idiocy of the humor and how much it reminded me of a time when I found that sort of thing funny, the first shot on the gargantuan prosthetic balls that Van Wilder's dog has raised a very loud chuckle from me. And in seeing them and immediately remembering that they were going to be emptied later in the film, sort of...
Yeah.
All of that to me was it did have me laughing.
So we should talk about that scene, actually, shouldn't we? Because this is sort of one of the scenes that the movie is really famous for and remembered for. And I'm not a huge fan of the scene, but, you know, there's a lot of pranks in this movie back and forward going between Van and Richard. And one of them is that Van Wilder has a... What kind of dog is it? Like a...
French bulldog or something. Sort of in that family.
A big, fat, puggy-looking thing. Huge testicles. Which, undeniably, hilarious. And which spawns a very good line. Van Wilder's friend, who I really should know the name of, but I can't remember his name, goes, you really got to have that guy neutered. And Van, without missing a beat, just goes, it's up to him.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. Anyway, they end up buying a bunch of cream-filled donuts, removing the cream, and then jacking off Colossus, the dog, into those cream donuts, and then dressing them up so they look normal again, delivering them to the frat that Richard is the president of, and then all the boys are tucking in with great aplomb to these freshly inseminated donuts, and then there's Polaroid pictures at the bottom showing the process of how they got made, which leads to the greatest inconsistency or like camera mistake of this movie, which is when Jeannie gets spewed on by one of the guys and they don't even cut away. They cut to another shot of her where she gets spewed on the opposite side. They just go from one shot to the other. So that's there.
That is definitely in there. Sorry, I was just trying to do so. I missed a key linking part of your story while remembering all of the details, as I was trying to figure out who exactly the character you were referring to is. He's called Techie.
Oh, Gene.
He's called Hutch.
Hutch, yeah. Hutch.
But he was played by a cast member from MTV's Real World, a guy called Tech Holmes, yeah.
I did wonder what came of this guy or who he was. So is he acting now, or is he kind of one of those, I'm doing air quotes, like a personality type dude?
His Instagram bio reads television producer for The Laugh Mob on True TV. I don't know that he's up to an awful lot.
Hey man, he's a TV producer. That's something. He's making television. Good on him.
Yeah, his hyperlink for his Wikipedia page leads to the Real World MTV as opposed to his own personalized entry. So it's hard to know exactly how it's going. But, you know, judging by the Instagram photos, he appears to lead a happy life. And
that's very good to hear.
I'm not upset about that. Tim, what was your shining light?
It's because I truly do buy into this movie and I love this movie. It is when, so there's a, the kind of crescendo of this film, of all the bad stuff happening, the all is lost moment, is that one of the pranks Richard plays on Van Wilder is that Van has organized a party and for money, because that's how he's paying for his college tuition at this point. And Richard sneaks in a whole bunch of little kids and gets them fucking hammered on Jägermeister, and then calls the college police on him. And so he gets snapped out for underage drinking at a party that he was in charge of. And that's how he gets expelled. And then there's so he's packing up all his stuff, and there's kind of this brooding montage of him looking sad and packing up all his shit. And then it goes to the Taj, who's sitting in the Taj, by the way, who's played by Cal Penn, is his assistant for the duration of this film. So the very start of the film opens up with an audition process of all these people trying to get hired for the spot of Van Wilder's assistant. So he's kind of his PA/EA for this film. So we got Taj sitting in the library by himself, surrounded by books, and he's looking in the student handbook, which is this huge tome for the university, and he finds a clause, a potential out, and he's so excited, and he runs back to Van, and he says, Van, look, you can appeal the expulsion within 48 hours, it says here right in the school charter. And then Van says, no, it's all done, I'm done with the school, it's all over. And then Taj gives a big speech, and then they walk outside to look at the hallway, and everyone's holding a school charter where they too have found the clause that will help Van Wilder stay at the school just a little bit longer, and they're all coming in, and he says, get me the law club. And I love that, man. I love that. Van Wilder returning to his previous position of power.
You just buy into that moment of the the movie.
Yeah, it's a genuine, yeah. I am taking the movie on its own terms. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, man.
It's yes. inspired. And then the head of the law club is like, I don't know, if it must have been an ode to Jackie Childs, who's the lawyer from Seinfeld, who speaks in very quick pace and sort of and with big words. But it's got to be a direct reference to him because it was like they literally lifted the character and cast a younger guy to play him.
And then they do a fun OJ joke as well. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's all part of the same thing because Jackie Childs, the lawyer from Seinfeld, was based on, I can't remember his name, Johnny someone, who was the OJ lawyer.
Right.
It's all very neatly wrapped up for you. There was one thing I did take issue with in the movie, Tim, amongst, you know, many legitimate gripes, just a logic thing.
Yeah.
At the start, you know, he walks out and he's pantsless for some reason when he's trying to talk a nervous freshman on his first day at school who's climbed to the top of one of the buildings and is threatening to jump. Van Wilder approaches him and sort of, you know, with his sage words of wisdom tells him that everything's going to be okay, not to get too worried about it all.
Yeah.
And then the guy, he sort of like feels, he turns away from him like, yeah, job well done. That guy's not going to jump. And the guy then jumps.
Yeah.
Which, if I'm going to be honest with you, given the tone of the movie, I thought was a joke and it made me laugh. But then I see that he's jumped onto a small trampoline.
A net.
Yeah.
Put him on a net.
I don't think he was aiming for that tramp, you know, and then everyone reacts as though Van Wilder's done this great public service by saving this guy's life. But the fact he jumps at all when he could have turned around and safely descended the building tells me that's not what the guy wanted at all.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And when you break it down like that, it's basically making a joke out of suicide, which is no laughing matter.
And, you know, to my detriment, that's not even what I took issue with. But I was just like, this doesn't make sense logically. And then later on in the movie, the same guy's seen wearing a T-shirt when everyone's rallying behind Van so he can stay in the school, saying, Van saved my life. And I'm like, has he bought in to this misguided mythos that him jumping off the building was the only way for him to keep living?
Anyway. The only reason this is illogical is because you've decided in your mind that he wasn't aiming for the net.
Why would you risk it when you can just walk back down?
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't a net
either. I don't
know,
man.
It was like a tiny circular exercise trampoline.
This isn't fucking Schindler's List, all right? It's a National Lampoon cash grab. They're just trying to make money somehow in this post-Chevy Chase era.
Yeah, and to their credit, they made $38 million against a budget of $5
million. Well, fucking well done to everyone except Tara Reid, who I thought really was phoning this in and didn't deserve it.
No, you know what? Also well done to Tara Reid for having a career that got her to the point where she got cast. I remembered at the end when she shows up with the lays for that party,
yeah,
as though she's made a decision that she's going to be with Van. I remembered that from my childhood, and I was sort of like, oh, that's right. What a sweet and iconic moment for it to all come flooding back. So, well done to the Patreon pals for choosing such an easy to watch film for us.
This I feel was a real favor to me, and I really do appreciate it. You are all very special and lovely people. I won't say that often because sometimes you throw us real dungers that are super long and super terrible. But I'm very grateful. I am Marie Kondoing the whole community we have on Patreon. I'm holding you close, and you are sparking me joy. So let's keep holding on to it and keep each other around.
Well, is that it, Tim?
I want actually to do one thing before we go. I want a final assessment of the film from you. Give it a how many Tara's Reid out of 100 would you give this? No relation to James Reid, by the way.
I don't even understand what a Tara's Reid is, but I would give it 30.
It's the plural of Tara Reid. 30's pretty low, man.
I feel like we should be grading it on like a scale of Miller Lights or something from 0 to 100.
What is an appropriate? How many fucking red beer pong cups is it out of 9? Wait, 6. Wait, 10.
It's still 3.
I'm trying to think of the configuration. It's out of 6, right? You usually have 3 layers. So 1, then 2, then 3, sometimes then 4.
You're overthinking it. The movie's no good.
It's not. It's good. It's all right. Watch the movie, everyone, but please, please don't think less of me when you do. That's all I have to say. I'm giving this 9 out of 9 red cups.
Jesus.
National Lampoon's Van Wilder.
Well, surely you have a career in mind.
Not really.
I'm bouncing off the walls again.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.